Blog Talk Radio.
We are back here with Dr. Floyd D. Harris Jr. Dr. Floyd D. Harris Jr., Black Lives Matter Show. We're broadcasting here out of Mississippi, Fresno. You know, folks, it's been a while since I've been on the air. Not because I did not want to be on the air. It's because Blog Talk would not let me on the air. So tonight I tried it again to say, well, let me try and see if they would let me come on the air, and luckily they let me come on the air. And so basically they've been shutting down my 2-hour show, but it is what it is. And so I'm going to go where I left off at. For those of you who know that the Poor People's Campaign coming to Fresno, we have been traveling up and down the state of California, talking about the different issues, social issues that's going on here in Fresno, well, as throughout the nation. And so there's just been a lot going on. One of the things I like to say about Fresno is a pretty unique town. I believe that there's a lot of manipulation that goes on here. I believe that a lot of our clergy here in our city has been bought off to the standpoint of not speaking out for the community, We see that politicians here locally has taken advantage of our people. And, you know, in saying that, you know, you really see the suffering of people here in the city. Seems like here in Fresno, as I better call it, Mississippi Fresno, that if you're poor, you're a criminal. If you're poor, you're a criminal. I don't quite understand how just because you live on a lower economic status, or if you choose to not buy a home, if you choose to not pay electricity bill, if you choose to not to pay taxes here in this country, it seems that if you choose to do the opposite of that, that you're a criminal. And so, you know, I spoke at Fresno State, colleagues of mine, Allen Reed and Maria Else, we spoke, and one of the lot of shocking things happened that day, but one of the things, and I don't want to say I'm ignorant, or, well, maybe I was, naive, let me use that word, naive, that I just did not know that students who go to college have a hard time eating. I mean, I was so shocked to hear that. I didn't know that college students who go to Fresno State, some of them are sleeping in their cars. I was told they have certain locations where students could plug in, kind of like one of those stations where you plug in your cars and get recharged. This is ridiculous. I just don't understand where we're going with this country right now. I just don't understand. But again, you with Dr. Harris, Black Lives Matter show. We're here once again. We're on. We're going to be talking about the Poor People's Campaign coming to Fresno. It's all over the city. It's all over the state. And when I say all over the city, even the police department wants to come out and escort us for whatever reason. I don't know. But I think it's really more to try to contain me. Possibility they may think I may go down and shut the freeway down or something. So. But anyway, you have all this stuff that's going on. You have people in Fresno right now that this city here is the breadbasket of the United States of America, which bringing in, I believe, 7 million, I believe, if I have it right, just in Fresno County alone, would add. You know, where's the equality with this? How come the ag industry is not invested more into this poverty piece? I mean, is this job security for those who have government jobs, police officers, probation officers, judges? I mean, is this a line of security for them to be able to keep their jobs? I mean, what's really going on here? Why do we even have poverty in the first place? I mean, you know, Alan Autry ran on the note of Tales of Two Cities. Tales of Two Cities. What does that mean, the Tales of Two Cities here in Fresno, California, in the 21st century here, April 5th, 2019? What does that mean? Why does West Fresno still have a packing house that cooks dead animals here every day? Why is it that the lifespan is 20 years less living in West Fresno than it is living in North Fresno? Why is it that there's profiling that black people are more are pulled over more than any other ethnic group here in the city? And we, in the census level, we are the minorities, but yet we're the most highly profiled. Why is it that West Fresno has low performance schools here throughout Fresno? Why is that? I mean, who's asking these questions right now to hold people accountable about what's going on in this freaking city right now? You know, and for those of us who stand out and speak out truth to power, then we become under attack. attack our jobs, you attack our families and things like that. Well, you know what? You're just going to have to attack because we're on the attack right now. We're not backing down. We're not doing a sweep. We're not doing a we're coming straight up the middle right now. And that's how we're going to do it. That's how our ancestors did it. We have nothing to hide at this point. You know why? Because all of us are losing right now. The strong will survive from this day forward. We have a caller that's saying right now, it's good to be on the air again. I missed you all. Love you all. I hope that you all come to our April 8th hearing here in Fresno, California, and the press conference here. And so we're going to go ahead and bring our caller in right now. I'd just like to welcome this caller in, 5172. 5172, welcome to Dr. Harris Black Lives Matter show. We're talking about the Poor People's Campaign coming to Fresno. Like to get your input, dialogue, or any statements you have to say. Welcome to the show.
Okay, thank you, Reverend Harris. This is Aline, and I was listening to your intro statements. And I wanted to just share with the listening audience one of the things that our parents and grandparents and great-grandparents fought for in our struggle in this land called America. Education was supposed to lift us out of the bottom of the heap and put us on somewhat of a equal playing field. So when you were talking about what you learned in Fresno State about the food insecurity of students and them couch surfing or living in their cars and things like that, I just want to share with the callers, I'm a grad of Fresno State, but I started in the fall of 1976 and graduated in the summer of 81. So when I was going to Fresno State, it only cost $2,000 a year, books, tuition, everything. $2,000, that's 40-something years ago. Now, I think it's over $6,000 or $7,000 or more than that per year, and that's just for the cost of going to the school. That doesn't include, you know, your cost of living, your rent, your whatever. And so students have to take out these huge loans in order to go to a state college. And then, heaven forbid, they want to go to graduate school or do postgraduate work in a profession like doctors or lawyers or something like that. So education is now cost prohibitive for many black and brown and Asian students. And so, you know, you have students now who where it used to take you 4 years to get out of college, Rev. Now students have been in school 5 and 6 and 7 years in order to get their degrees. There's something wrong with America. There's something wrong with this country when you cannot count on education to lift you to a better point in your life, but you have 45 in the White House who got his parents paid for him to go to college, just like the scandal we have now, Varsity Blue scandal, rich people paying their kids way into school. And so the playing field, it's like a foot race where the rich are miles ahead and the rest of us are trying to catch up, not even to be rich, but just to have a decent standard of living. So this Poor People's Campaign on Monday needs to, you know, address the problem that we're having in America, because this is a huge problem, and it's especially acute here in this valley. And I just wanted to, you know, to say that and to address what you were saying about the police presence at the march that's coming up. Number one, you know, depending on how many police are going to be out there, I for one would be intimidated by too many police officers out there, because the main people they say that they want to protect are the main people that they're brutalizing on an everyday basis. So I just wanted to say that, and I'm going to stop talking and listen. And, you know, I just want to throw my two cents worth in about that with your intro.
Well, you know, like to thank you for helping to organize all of this. I want to play a little clip of Reverend Barbara out of the East Coast. I want to go ahead and play this clip. Maybe 2 minutes or so. Bear with me. I think there's some critical statements that Reverend Barber is saying I'd like to discuss. We'll go ahead and start.
Very good.
The Reverend Dr. William Barber took his turn.
Politicians can't say they love Dr. King. And
supremacy spouting Congressman Steve King, no relation, used the words of MLK about the dangers of staying silent about things that matter. But with the brand spanking new governor of Tennessee, Republican Bill Lee, who may have had the worst day when he spoke at Tennessee State University's MLK Day of Service and Convocation yesterday.
I wonder what Dr. King would think about where we are today. And I think that he would think that there has been much progress made, but he would think that we have a long way to go. And that is what I believe as well.
After the governor spoke, he took his seat on stage, and our old friend, the Reverend Dr. William Barber, took his turn.
Politicians can't say they love Dr. King and how he stood for love and unity, but then you deny and refuse to support his agenda. Right, Governor?
You're going to want to stay tuned for Thing 2 in 60 seconds.
Politicians can't say they love Dr. King and how he stood for love and unity, but then you deny and refuse to support his agenda. Right, Governor? I mean, since you came, right, Congressman? So, let me show you what I mean, Governor. Dr. King would not have been for a wall and hurting. How many of y'all are not against a wall? Everybody here that's not against the wall, politician, everybody, and will tell Donald Trump, you don't need to be building a wall to separate people. We need to be spending money to give people health care. Stand on your feet. Now, anybody that doesn't stand on your feet, you get to see. Wait a minute. How many folk in here believe, like Dr. King, that everybody ought to have what Teddy Roosevelt, a Republican, asked for 100 years ago, and that's your health care for every citizen? Everybody believes that? Stand up. Now, if you stand up for that, then don't say you love Dr. King. Governor, what's your last name? Me. No, that ain't no, that's not no Navajo name. That's like Barber. Even I'm mixed with it. That comes out of England. So how is it that a whole bunch of folk that are nothing but immigrants themselves now want to pass some laws that if those laws were in place in the 1920s, their own great-grandmamas wouldn't have been able to come here?
For the record, Bill Lee says he's a seventh-generation Tennessean, but 3 days into his new job, I think the governor maybe got the message.
You may be seated. I'm just saying, I'm too old to play now.
Hey there, I'm Chris Hayes from MSNBC. Thanks for watching MSNBC on YouTube. If you want to keep up.
Well, you know, we like to thank everyone for tuning in right now. We're going live stream right now here in Fresno, California. I'd just like to welcome everybody to the show again. I apologize for not able to be on the show this past week. For some reason, Blog Talk Radio was blocking me to where they were only giving me a 30-minute show. And so I just chose not to use that time. I went on today, and they gave me my regular time. So I like to go back to some of the statements that Reverend Barber had mentioned in his opening statements about Dr. King. And I noticed this a lot right now, especially here in Fresno. So I'm going to talk about Fresno, how we have a bunch of hypocrite politicians here in the city, that the city of Fresno is always the one who is leading the MLK march downtown Fresno all the time. And then you notice that the police department, which has a terrible record here in Fresno of shooting unarmed people, planting guns on people here in Fresno. It's just very nerve-wracking to me to see this continue every month. And then we take our children to this march downtown Fresno, where we're giving out awards and, you know, everybody's taking photo shots and pictures and all this, you know. And our sister came by the Freedom School this evening. I just gave her a little tour. I was very tired from this morning, but I'm glad I got up and showered and gave her a tour. And one of the things that I told her today that, you know, Dr. King, which I believe he was died at the age of 39, God had called him to be a messenger during that time. And Dr. King understood. I believe Dr. King was born in 1929. He had missed Black Wall Street at least by 7 or 8 years. Dr. King missed Black Wall Street. And so, but God had called Dr. King during that time to as a messenger to be able to mobilize the people in the country to show that Black life did matter. I mean, so even back then, so we could take Black Lives Matter right now and place it back in 1921 and said Black Lives Matter back then. It's the same concept. We were still getting shot down. We were still getting lynched. Our homes were being bombed. Our women were getting raped. And, you know, and I told a sister today, I said, you know, as we were walking around our Freedom Center, I was just, you know, showing her different things that the kids do. And then we got to the point where where there was pictures of me on the wall, and I was just giving her a little background on each picture. And I told her, I said, you know, I said, what's sad is that we're still fighting the fight that Dr. King fought back in the freaking 60s, in the 50s, in the 40s. And then we want to sit up here and talk about make America great again. America never was been great. America never has been great. It has been nothing but a hypocrisy country that has done nothing but kill Indians, stole their land, bomb Black people's community, Black Wall Street and Philadelphia. So tell me what's great about America again. So when you tell me again, I'm thinking that once upon a time it was real good. Now, if you call Make America Great Again, then you're telling me that the lynching and the murders and the mobs and the burning down of the houses and the homes, then you're telling me that was good. So that's not good. That's what you call murder. And so, you know, I think that I told a sister, I said, you know, I said, Dr. King was the one who negotiated with Lyndon Johnson to get the Voting Rights Act bill signed by Lyndon Johnson. I said, we're the only people, and I told her, we're the only people that breathes worldwide here in America that a bill had to be passed for us to be able to vote, to be recognized as citizens. I said, listen, I said, we're the same people that the U.S. Constitution said that we were three-fifths of an animal, okay? I said, so when you go to the dog pound and you walk through there and you see these dogs and cages and cats and animals, just put Black people behind the cage. We were three-fifths of an animal. And so that's what we're dealing with today. We're still dealing with it today. And I'm not going to allow no one in this city of Fresno to manipulate the people anymore, because it's time to call out people for what they are. If you're a snake, then you need to be called a snake. If you're a gopher, then you need to be called a gopher. If you're in political office and you passing bad legislation for God's people, then you need to be called out. A report card needs to be pulled on you. And matter of fact, maybe we need to go to your house and march in front of your house with signs and stuff to let the world know what you're doing to people. So Reverend Barber right now, is reactivated the Poor People's Campaign nationally. We're organizing over 40 states across the country. We're organizing heavily here in California. And at the end of the day, like Malcolm X said, Malcolm X was another messenger. He said it's either the ballot or the bullet. Here's the thing. We understand marching has its public way of exposing things. But you know what? At the end of the day, it's when election time comes, that day, that hour, when you're in that booth, That's what's going to change society. That's what's going to change the fabric of Fresno, is that we have to get on the ground. We have to go door to door, quit being lazy, quit being sorry, quit making a bunch of damn excuses about things that's going that you don't have time to do. Just get off your tail and do something. Because
yes.
Black people right now in this city, statistics just came out, said that it's the 10th worst city for black people to live in. And you know what? I ain't heard a mumbling word from not one black person other than the people in my circle. I haven't heard nothing from Lee Brand, the mayor. I haven't heard nothing about this city council that's all supposed to be Democratic, that they're supposed to have the majority of the council. I haven't heard them say not a damn thing. So you know what? Black people, we have to take the bull by the horns. We have to get motivated. We have to organize ourselves. We have to energize ourselves and quit waiting on other people to save us. I'm going to go ahead and turn over to Sister Allison.
That's true, Reverend Harris. And you have said for quite a while how MLK's legacy has been hijacked by these so-called liberals, and people want to hold hands and sing Kumbaya and hold up a banner with King's photo on it, and they have a standing committee, you know, and the breakfasts and all these things. That is not what Martin was about anymore. Yes, he talked about love, and he talked about justice, and he talked about equality, but he had transformed into somebody else by the end of his life. And that somebody else saw that his dream had turned into a nightmare. You were nice enough to play a clip for myself and a reporter about a week ago about that. And not only that, he saw that we had a bigger problem than just black people's inequality. We had a poor people's problem, and that goes across racial lines. But see, when you get people like 45 in the White House talking about Make America Great Again, what he's talking about is reestablishing or firming up white privilege and white supremacy. This is what he is talking about. Just today, just this afternoon, I saw where several black churches in Louisiana had gotten burned down, and hate speech was found near these churches. Now, there are certain of us who are old enough to remember when black churches were being burned in the South in the late 50s and early 60s, the mid-60s. When Vietnam was going on, black people were still fighting for their lives, and hence you had people who were in the church called Deacons of Defense who were saying, hey, you know, we served, this was in the 40s, we served in World War II, we know how to use guns, you shoot at us and shoot at our churches, we're going to shoot back. We know how to hit what we're aiming at. Then in the 60s, you had the Black Panthers saying the same thing. We're talking about defense. To defend something means you are preventing further harm. So you're not going out looking for trouble. You're defending what is your house or your community. And black people, let me just say this. We are under siege. If politicians that you elect or elect by default because you don't go and vote are doing things that you don't think are right, these are the same people that are going to appoint a new chief of police in Fresno. Now, we know what kind of chief of police Jerry Dyer was. And he's like the Teflon man. Nothing sticks on Jerry Dyer. So now, after 16 years of being chief, 40-some years on being on the force, he's getting ready to retire. He's going to get a pension. He's going to get a pension that will make up three or four people's salary from where I stand as a home health care worker. Okay? So what I'm saying to all of you is that now the time is now. We don't have any more time to waste. If you believe in Dr. King's message, if you believe that we should not criminalize the poor, if you believe about universal health care. If you want to stop police brutality, get out and show them, because marching is good, demonstrating is good, but without demands for justice, it's all going to fall on deaf ears, because look who's in the White House. So, Reverend Harris, you know, we're trying to get people engaged here. And you know, I think we're breaking through on many fronts. People are saying, yes, we're going to come to the Poor People's Campaign hearing. Yes, we're going to testify. And that's what we need y'all to do. We need you to come out and testify about those four pillars of the Poor People's Campaign. And those four pillars are systematic racism, poverty, ecological devastation, you know about the health care and respiratory issues in this valley, and the war economy and militarism. I mean, do you realize that 56% of the national budget, 56 or 57% of the national budget is spent on the Defense Department? That's a sin and a shame. They should be funding public schools. So, Reverend, I'm gonna throw it back to you, because I'm waiting for some of the callers to call in and tell us what we should do. What should we do?
You know, before I go into that, I want to go ahead and play a song here that was made here for Fresno specifically in regards to the homeless situation. I'm going to go ahead and just play this real quick.
All right.
David played and it pleased the Lord, but you don't really care for music, do you? Well, it goes like this, the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall and the major lift, the baffled king composing hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Your faith was strong, but you need proof. You saw her bathing on the roof, her beauty in the moonlight overthrew you. She tied you to a kitchen chair. She broke your throat and she cut your hair. And from your lips she drew the hallelujah. 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 Baby, I've been here before. I've seen this room and I've walked this floor. You know, I used to live alone before I knew you. And I've seen your flag on the marble arch. And love is not a victory march. It's a cold and it's a broken hallelujah. 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 But there was a time when you let me know what's really going on below, but now you never show that to me. Remember when that bloomed in you and the whole.
Wow. Powerful. Powerful stuff.
think that the smarter villages are bound to multiply as the recession deepens. If it continues, there will probably be a proliferation of these places. Taco Flat is a very interesting, vibrant community. It is a good example of informal urbanism, which is a kind of development that is most often associated with the so-called slums of the developing world. Informal urbanism is something that happens when governments and private markets fail to produce an adequate supply of affordable housing. A great majority of the people I've met tend to be victims of home foreclosures, but rather people who can't access the market for rental housing. In some cases, it's because they've lost their jobs in the poor economy, but quite often it's just because they wouldn't be able to sign a lease in the first place. In many parts of the West, the rental market is so competitive now that landlords refuse to work with tenants who have poor credit ratings, criminal convictions, or receive public assistance. And that's the case for many tent city residents. Well, at this point, at least, most of the year-round tent cities are in the Pacific Coast states. In California, Oregon, and Washington, I know of nine cities that have major encampments. They open all year long. They're constantly on the verge of demolition or relocation, or falling into neglect. The people in Taco Flat are extremely self-reliant, and their homes reflect that. They're made from a very eclectic mixture of salvaged materials. I saw everything from shipping pallets to going out of business signs and Bollywood film posters. They have oftentimes separate rooms for sleeping, cooking, and relaxation, and fenced-in yards for their pets. You can see that people are really trying to reclaim a kind of personal space that has been denied to them in the mainstream housing market and in homeless shelters.
Just wanted to go back and talk about what is really going on here in Fresno. I think there's a lot of post-traumatic stress that's going on here. I believe that we have a board of supervisors here in Fresno who don't even get along with the Fresno City Council, who then fights over money and who's supposed to do what. And then you turn around and then those who run for office always running off public safety. And so now you have the Fresno County Board of Supervisors who is over mental health, who is supposed to be dealing with the illnesses and providing funding and for mental health. Mental health gets cut. It gets cut by the Fresno County Board of Supervisors, and then more money is allocated to build more jails here in Fresno.
That's right.
So how in the hell are we going to be able to help those who have mental illness issues in our community if there's no money to help them? And all the money is being directed to build more jails, Fresno County jails, even though we do need a jail that folks could be treated with decency and integrity because they're innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. And that don't mean that they go inside of a county jail and have to freeze to death or eating rotten food and rats running around and all this type of stuff.
Right.
So our priorities here in this city, but see, you got to understand this thing again, is that who is putting up the money? Who's putting up the money for politicians to run for office? Who has the interest of poor folk here in West Fresno? Who has the interest of poor folk, period, in Fresno? Is it Brian Patecchio? Is it him? Is it the boy? Is it Kyle Couture? Is it him?
Well, let me just jump in here for 1 second, Rev, and just say this, that the scenario that you just laid out is all about making money. So you cut mental health services, you build more jails, you talk about, you tout public safety as the most important thing, and so you, it's like a revolving door, because if you don't assist people with mental health issues, you know they're going to continue to get rearrested and rearrested, and supposedly they're going to be a danger to the community and themselves. So they have to be put somewhere, and so they're warehoused in jails, and in the meantime, somebody is making money off those bodies. It's the same way, and I'm not trying to compare the two on an equal level, but we're talking numbers here. It's the same way with public schools. When you have public schools who get funded based on their daily attendance numbers, then it behooves the system to have those children in school, even though they're poor performing schools, even though they're not testing well, even though, but as long as they show up, somebody's getting some money. So why are we throwing tax dollars at systems that do not work, and we cannot have politicians who are accountable for why these things don't work? And it's getting to the point now, and I've been a Democrat since I was 18 years old. I'm 61 now. It's getting to the point where Democrats are almost as bad as conservative Republicans about doing nothing when they get in office, because nobody is holding them accountable. So I'm saying to everybody in the listening audience, your ballot is your bullet to make them do what you want them to do. It's not going to be either or, like Brother Malcolm was saying. We're going to use our ballots like a bullet. And if they don't do what we want them to do, they got to go. We're gonna kill their tenure, and out in the street they get. It's very simple. We make it complicated. But people, if it's worth having, it's worth fighting for. We have got to take back our city right now. 2020 is around the corner. So if you haven't gotten registered to vote, get registered. We'll have tables at the Poor People's Campaign on Monday. So, Rev, let me turn it back to you. Because, you know, I'm going to be spitting mad about this whole thing with mental health and prisons and schools. Black people, brown people, black people, we are under siege. Make no mistake about it.
Well, there you have it. We'd like to thank all of those Black Lives Matter. Welcome to Black Lives Matter, Dr. Harris' show tonight. Again, I'm glad to be back on the air again. I've was able not to get on the air for some reason for Blog Talk Radio, but I checked it today and I was able to get on. One of the things that I think that was happening here in Fresno is that we got to stop selling out.
Tell
we
it
just
now.
We got to stop selling out. That's just, listen, chickens don't run with chicken hawks. Zebras don't run with lions. Elephants don't run with giraffes. So, you know, we got to stop running with the enemy. You know, so I wanted to get back on this piece. I want to talk about Chief Dyer also and his little situation that's going on. You know, so I was talking about mental health.
Mm-hmm.
And who is funding these people who are running for office is developers.
Right.
Because developers have a self-interest of land.
That's right.
See, you always got to follow the money. And then when you follow the money, you got to know that they're going to come into West Fresno and try to buy some house Negroes for shut-up money. See, we're so used to having crumbs. See, black folks are so used to having crumbs, we don't know what having a whole pie feel like.
Come on now.
Because,
come
see,
on,
tell black folks don't have no money to give a politician to put in office. Let's just keep it real tonight.
Let's keep it real.
Because we're just trying to survive from day to day. My people are trying to survive from day to day. So we don't have no $1,000, $5,000 check to give a politician to speak on our behalf. So we have to mobilize the community and bring the numbers in if we don't have the money.
That's right. That's right.
See, we got to count our votes before election time even comes. So we set down a politician and tell them what we want. Can you deliver this or can you not deliver this?
Hey, tell
and
it.
If you can't deliver this, then we'll go to the next person because we got 10,000 votes right here at our disposal. Now, how you want to play ball tonight, politician? See, that's
right.
The kind of power we have to come to the table with. Because, see, they don't care about us marching and protesting and having vigils. What they care about is having them votes when election time comes.
That's right. You ain't never right.
That's why Malcolm said the ballot or the bullet.
Yes, he did.
See, you got Fresno, California making, what, $7 million or $1 billion a year,
$60
billion,
billion
$50 million in the San Joaquin Valley, and we have the highest concentration of property?
Something wrong with that picture.
And now the new statistic comes out that says that Fresno is the 10th worst city for black people to live in, and I ain't heard nobody say nothing about that.
Mm-mm. Nope. Let's talk about that, Reverend. Let's talk about where are the black groups, the African-American groups, the religious groups that should be addressing this problem. Where's the NAACP? Where's BAPAC? Where's BWACA? Where are the black fraternities and sororities? Where are the black churches? Where's the Black Ministerial Alliance? Are they making statements that haven't broke through to the community? Because I haven't heard anything. Have you?
I haven't heard anything.
Neither have I. And that is worrisome. Why would these groups not speak out about these issues? Why would they stay silent?
Let me jump in real quick. I'd like to thank all of those for tuning in right now to our show. I just want to, if I can, real quick, go down the live stream here and just thank people personally for tuning in tonight. We have Cheryl. Oh, Riggins, thank you, Cheryl, for tuning in tonight. Who else we got here? Anthony, Teresa, thank you for tuning in. We got Janice, thank you for tuning in. We're getting ready for Juneteenth. We got Gloria Sandoval. Hey, Gloria down in Merced.
Hey.
Thank y'all. We hope to see y'all for the Poor People's Campaign. We got, who is this? Brother Philip. Love you, my brother. Stay up. Nesto, thank you, brother, for tuning in. Just want to give these shout-outs. Chris Lewis, thank you for tuning in. Sheree, thank you for tuning in. Who else we got here real quick? Denise, hey, Queen, Denise. Oh, my baby daughter, Chanel. Love my baby daughter, Chanel. And Marie Els, thank you for tuning in, my sister. And so let me go back to a piece here real quick. I wanted to talk about politicians. I want to get on Chief Dyer here for a second. We're under attack right now. And I know many of you are scary. I know many of you don't have backbone. You know who I'm talking to. We know many of you.
I'm laughing. I don't know exactly who you're talking to, but I can imagine.
You know that if you come in the war room with Reverend Harris, you're going to be running back telling the enemy. You know who you are. And I know who you are. But here's the issue here. The issue is is that we need an overhaul.
Yes.
We got to stop putting a Band-Aid on something that needs a major operation.
That's right. That's right. That's Maria L's quote. That's right.
I need to say that again. We need to stop putting a Band-Aid on an issue that needs a major operation. And we need a hell of a surgeon to come in with his team to operate on this silliness, madness that's going on in Mississippi, Fresno. Because there's people hurting each and every day. I mean, we sat up here and built a baseball stadium instead of pouring resources towards housing. The city of Fresno, HUD gave the city of Fresno millions of dollars, billions of dollars for housing, and they turned around, mismanaged the money, and started hiring supervisors and giving supervisors salaries. Where's the accountability? See, there's a double standard here in this city and this country, but there's a double standard here. When those in office mismanage money, there's no accountability. But when somebody in the community mismanage money, oh, you're going to federal prison. See, what's good for the goose is good for the gander.
Because but Reverend Harris, you got to talk about let me just interject this. When you talk about accountability, I'm going to say this and then I'm going to hush. You have a former mayor, Ashley Swearingen, who did close to nothing for Southwest Fresno when she was in office. To leave office, form the Central Valley Foundation, apply and get $70 million based on 93706, and then handpick where that money is going to go, cherry pick where that money is going to go. I tell you, that is a travesty. That is perpetrating a fraud on the people of Southwest Fresno. I just needed to interject that, Rev.
Here's the thing, Sister Allen, that we have to understand. What you don't want in North Fresno, you dumping in West Fresno.
See?
What do you think about that?
I think that's true. That's why the city dump was over there. They wanted to expand the city dump. And Southwest Fresno mobilized on that one. And they had to shut that down. But that was one of the rare cases that Southwest Fresno mobilized on something. That's what happens. I don't know, Rev, you might be too young to remember this, but I remember when city council were, you know, it was an open race. Anybody could get, you know, placed on city council representing any part of the city. You didn't have to live in that district. And we wound up with a city council member in District 3 called Jeff Wright, who was one of the biggest racists you ever want to see. And Southwest Fresno mobilized on that, too. But those are two rare cases when that happened. His behavior was so egregious and so obvious that people said, no, that ain't going to happen no more.
This is what
rare.
I was saying. We talk and we talk and we talk and we talk and we talk.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to talk. But we also need action.
Yes.
We need a plan. Movements are started with two or three people.
Yeah.
When you have West Fresno, who has the only packing house in the whole San Joaquin Valley, a rendering plant that's cooking dead animals every day. The lifespan of our community in West Fresno is 20 years less living in North Fresno. That means that we're dying every day.
Black
we're the only community in West
well.
Fresno that has a park that's called Floyd H. High Park, which is named after a mayor of the city of Fresno, which was actually a dump that our children play on each and every day. It's a landfill.
That's true.
The quality of air in West Fresno is deadly and toxic. You got a school district called Fresno Unified that has King School is the sixth rated 6th in the state of California for his low-performance school. And we all know if our children do not know how to read by the age of grade of second or third grade, they're billing a cell for them to go to prison.
Wow.
I had a principal when Carver was up and running. He did a reading test. He said, Reverend Harris, how many kids do you think passed the reading test out of 250 kids from the ages of second grade to eighth? Oh, I wasn't being funny. I said, well, what, 200?
Mm-hmm.
He said, guess again.
Mm.
I said, higher or lower? He said, lower. I said, well, 100. He said,
wow.
Guess again.
What?
I said, 50? He said, no, the magic word is 3.
Oh, my goodness.
3 children in West Fresno, a reading test, passed out of 250 kids. See, we should be outraged, but you know what the problem is? We depend on a government system that has never loved us and liked us since day one.
That's true. That is
from Head Start to 12th grade, and I'm talking about black kids right now in Fresno Unified, and they don't know nothing about their history. So they get to City College, and Brother Kainde is talking to them, and they're looking like deer in headlights. You have police that profile statistically says black people more than anybody in the city. Profile.
Mm-hmm.
And we're the minority in the community.
3%. Used to
you
be 8%. 3%.
You go to City Hall and you go to the different, and you don't see no blacks working. So what are we really doing here in this city as black folk? We can't even come together for nothing. I asked for 20 black men to come.
I remember.
On a Saturday morning. Just the men. They want no women. And I don't want to be discriminatory with the women. But I said, you know what? We got to come together as men.
Right.
I had two. Because
wow.
We don't understand what real manhood is as black men in this city. See, we're good at doing things on the individual level, but collectively, what can we do to the power we can have?
Well, this is the problem because people, like you said, are afraid. Whatever job they have, they don't want to lose that job. Whatever white friends they have, they don't want to lose those white friends. You know? And don't get me wrong, many of us have Caucasian friends, but most of my friends understand who I am. So I don't have a problem saying how I feel and what I believe. But if you're afraid all the time, so here's my question, Reverend. What is more important, an individual success story or a success story that encompasses the mass of black people that live in this city? All for one and one for all and all those kind of platitudes. You know, in the 20s, 30s, and 40s and 50s, black people understood we had to hang together. There wasn't this class distinction between teachers and domestic workers. There wasn't this distinction between post office workers and sanitation workers. They all went to the same churches. They all knew how to pull together. We don't have that now. We got social media to reach out to one another, and that's a cold comfort when what you really need is a hug. You need a hug and a listening ear.
You know, I just want to call out the number. I apologize I didn't call it out earlier, 619 619-924-0872. 619-924-0872. One more time, 619-924-0872. We're talking about you with Dr. Harris, Black Lives Matter Show, talking about the Poor People's Campaign and just different issues that's going on here in Fresno. And we're sitting in a melting pot right now. And one of the things you said that was very clear to me is that there is a lot of fear here in Fresno. I think that the power structure has silenced the Black church. Not that I think, I know they have. I believe that the Black church right now wants to be very conservative. I believe that the Black church here in Fresno do not want to speak truth to power. I believe that the Black church rather have prayer breakfasts and which is not a bad thing. I mean, we all got to eat. But you know, we got to eat and fight too. You just can't keep eating all the time and eating and while our community is deteriorating, all we're doing is eating chicken and watermelons and taking pictures with politicians. That's not what this is about. This is about liberation. This is about organizing and mobilizing. This is about uplifting the next generation for the next several generations so that they can have something to look forward to. That's what this fight is about. It's always been about that for 400 years. So when I hear people talk about make America great again, what the hell is you talking about? It ain't never been great, and it ain't great today, April 6, 2019. We're catching more hell than you can shake a stick at right now. We're going to prison. We're being shot at. We got HIV in our community. We got hypertension going on in the Black community. We got Black-on-Black crime going on in the community. We got drugs going on in the community. I mean, whatever's bad that's going on, it's in our community. Not that it's not another folks community, but I'm talking about Black folks right now. I had a sister tell me last night. She said, you know, she said, I'm looking at people having visual of the brother that got killed in L.A. What was his name?
Nipsey Hussle.
Good brother.
Yeah.
Good brother. He's doing positive things in the neighborhood. And the sister called me. She said, well, why is the people here in Fresno having a visual? I mean, what are you guys doing for Black folks in Fresno? Well, I mean, and I just started laughing. I'm like, well, you know, again, we like to eat and we like to have visuals. That's about all we like to do. But when we start talking about speaking truth to power, and when we start talking about going down to City Hall, when we start talking about speaking out against the chief of police or the sheriff, when we start talking about stuff like that, everybody get to scattering like roaches. I mean, so I really don't understand this city right now when it comes to the perspective of Black folks.
Let me just say this, Rev. The sister asked a valid question about why are we having a vigil in Fresno. You know why we have a vigil in Fresno? So we don't have to think about the stuff we should be doing in Fresno. We don't have to hold each other accountable for the stuff that should be done. And I'm saying this as the president of the West Fresno Democratic Club. I'm saying this as the chairperson for Fresno Freedom School. I'm saying this as somebody who is doing her best, not perfection, mind you, because ain't nobody perfect. I'm saying that I'm doing what I can do, but I'm going to hold myself accountable, and I expect other people to hold me accountable as well. And I don't need or want people saying, well, you know what, we ought to give each other a free pass. No, that's the whole problem now. We don't expect good, excellent work, community work from each other, and so we do a half-assed job and we get half-assed results, and that's why we are where we are today. That's just my opinion.
But wait a minute.
You know,
but let me take
it's easy to do nothing.
I want to talk about economics right now. I mean, you know, we got people trying right now as I speak, people that's trying to open up Black businesses, people trying to bring some Black consciousness, you know, in our community. But here's the problem. If we don't patronize, if Black people don't patronize their own Black businesses, it's going to be destroyed. It's not going to work. I mean, that's the type of stuff that I speak across the pulpit on Sunday morning. That we have to be self-sufficient, we have to be independent, and we have to be accountable, we have to have discipline in our community, and we have to pull each other up. You know, and it's just so much crawdad mentality that's going on in the black community right now that we just have to stop it. We don't even have anything. Listen.
We have the talent to do these things.
Listen, if you were to get a flat on your car, we don't even have a black tire shop to take your car to get your tire fixed. So that's a business within itself that we could create as a people.
Yes.
But we don't think like that because we know what we want to do. You know, we want to go to the pastor's appreciation. You know, we want to go for a week long. We want to spend money over here. Where's the economic piece to where our money is recycling in our community right now? That's the conversation.
That's a two-pronged thing, which you're talking about, Rev, with the economics, because the first prong is integration. Of what that destroyed black businesses all over Southwest Fresno. You were telling us about that we had all these black businesses in the 40s, in the 50s and 60s, and now we don't have hardly any. So that's part of it. And then the second part is we would rather pick each other to death. Oh, well, you charging too much. Well, I'm charging too much because I'm not charging too much. I'm charging what I need to charge. Just pay it. We don't go to Macy's and argue with the people in there about what they got on the shelves and how much it costs. We might grumble, but we're paying it if we want it. It's got to be the same thing with black businesses. I mean, businesses like Chef Paul's, businesses like Gregory Washington. You know, support your black businesses. Insurance companies, insurance salesmen, buy your insurance from the brother. I mean, we can do this, Rev. We can do this. Well, I remember when my mom worked at a bridal shop in Southwest Fresno in the 70s. She worked for a sister who wound up closing up her shop. So this is what I'm saying. You know, it's a two-pronged thing. We got to look for black businesses and then support them and not try to shake them down with, oh, well, you charging too much. Just pay it. Pay it.
Well, you know, my thing is how are we going to sustain the black community in Fresno? How are we going to sustain it? First of all, the black community, we can't even get a black politician in office, to say the truth, single-handed. We can't. We have to build allies and partners with other communities to have pity for us as a people. Mm-hmm. To get black people elected. So we're already handicapped before we even start the race because we don't even have the numbers here. And then if we have people who we can say, oh, well, there's a black person there, then we have to worry about the jealousy, the envy, the strife. Then we have to worry about, oh, well, this crawdad mentality. When are we as a people in this city is going to atone with one another? And say, hey, you're not my enemy. We have something in common when we look in the mirror at one another.
That's right. That's right.
I mean, I'm just so sick and tired of waking up every morning, going outside, looking at a dysfunctional community. We don't even have a freaking movie theater. We don't even have a bowling alley. We got to go spend
money.
We don't
have any of that. We don't have a dry cleaner.
Just to have fun. I remember we had Scott dry cleaners. I remember we used to have what was the name of it? I can't think of the name. It was right there. The cleaners that used to be on Walnut and California. It's on the tip of my tongue. I can't think of the right.
I don't know the. Okay.
I almost had it. But my point is this. When are we going to figure it out? When are we going to figure out in Black Fresno that we are not the enemy of one another? This is why the Poor People's Campaign is coming to Fresno.
That's why.
Because we have to have a conversation about the social illnesses that are going on within our community.
Exactly.
We have a lot of wealthy black people in Fresno. A lot of them.
We do.
I know who they are. I know where you live at.
And if there was a black bank in West Fresno, Rev, would these rich black people put their money in that bank? See, these are the questions that I want to know. If we got a black bank or black credit union in Southwest Fresno, would they put their money in it and support that black bank? Or are they going to hang with whoever it is they're hanging now? Because I just saw a black developer getting an award. He ain't developed nothing in Southwest Fresno. Well, he's got a project going now. What is that project? The Satellite City College project. He got
My blood pressure was okay until you start talking about black people getting awards. You were doing okay until you said that. You were doing 100 until you said that. We are so good at giving out awards to people, nice people, but you say, well, what have you done?
Nice people.
Give an account for what you have done.
Somebody did something for other communities. He did something for other communities, and that's why they gave him the award.
I mean, I see it over and over and over and over.
Yeah.
Listen, let me tell you something. Somebody asked me a question, I think this year. They said, Rem Harris, they said, how come the MLK committee has not given you an award? All the stuff you have done in this city. And they're giving all these other people awards but haven't given you not anything. Why is that? Well, let me ask you
a good question.
I said, well, sister, the only thing I can tell you is what I think. I'm saying it's not what I know, it's what I think. I said, first of all, I'm a conscious black man. And I'm a free black man. And I know who the hell I am. And I know my history. And I don't read nobody's script. So the script piece is the real reason why I don't get an award from the MLK committee, because I don't read scripts. Now, all the people that they're giving awards to, I'm not down in that. They deserve it.
Right.
But I'm telling you why I don't get recognized is because I speak truth to power. That's the real reason. And I told her sister, I said, you know what? And it's not about getting an award.
Uh-uh.
I said, it's good to have a pat on the back. But I don't do what I do to get an award. I do what I do because I love my people. I do what I do because I want to see my people prosper. As I do what I do because
Well, Rev, you have got a boatload of awards, just not from these folks who are afraid of your message. I've seen your awards, some of them, and I know you got a ton of them. So. But we have to look at the institutions that are refusing to recognize your connection to your community. And it behooves all black people that are listening in the audience and allies of black people to question, to continue to question why these things exist in Fresno. Progressives are going to have to step up, especially black progressives. If you say you're a black progressive in Fresno, then you need to be talking to Reverend Harris about what we're going to do in the future, because our numbers are dwindling. We went from 8% of the population down to 3%, so what's up with that? What's going on with that? So that means either black people are dying out and no black people are moving in, or black people are just leaving Fresno and not coming back. That's what they were doing when I was in high school 40-something years ago and just would leave because there wasn't nothing here for us. So, Reverend Harris, so this Poor People's Campaign that's happening on Monday, that you were the chairperson of the steering committee, ain't nobody giving out no awards for that. But you've been leading this movement and planning for this event for weeks. Why don't somebody come talk about that?
You know. Before we get into that, I need to say something about something that you're getting ready, that you've been planning for many months. Is the Black Summit that's coming in October? And I believe that this Black Summit is something that is geared around Black folk. Now, we're not saying that other people can't come. We're saying that the narrative is around Black issues. And I think
that's
what is happening in Fresno is that we have so many people who is non-Black always trying to kind of tell the Black people what they need to do and what they don't need to do. Now, there's nothing wrong with having a dialogue, okay? But yet, we see charity starts at home.
Mm-hmm.
I got to love myself before I can love you, Aline. I got to love myself before I can love anybody.
Right. That's right.
So the issue is that we as a people, those of us who are conscious, has to say, you know what? Time out.
Time out.
What's done in the past is the past. You know what? We're moving forward now. This boat is getting ready to lead a duck. We're going to come with a Black agenda now. See, Black people in Fresno, we spend too much time worrying about who's going to get the damn credit. I don't care about the credit.
Come on now. Tell the truth.
If you want the headlines in the newspaper, if that's your agenda, then so be it. I don't care who gets the credit.
Yeah.
Credit don't mean anything to me. You know what means something to me? Is to see my babies liberated, to see my community with businesses, to see to see that my Black community have media, to see my Black community come in with stores, to see my Black community come in with car dealerships, to see my Black community come in with grocery stores, to see my Black community come in with banks. That's what I'm about. And that's why people don't want to deal with me, because we have a real conversation.
That's true.
And that's what Black folks don't want to have. I had a situation happen the other day that I'm still processing. I'm like, you know, should I address this brother? Or, you know, I'm like, how should I address this brother? You know, 35 years ago, you know, I'll be like, you know, I'm gonna chop this brother up. I'm gonna deal with him. But how am I gonna deal with him? Was my question to myself. Because, see, what you got to understand is, for those who know me may not know me, I'm not here to be liked by anybody. I'm not here for anybody to think that I'm trying to make you look pretty.
Yes.
We're here about accountability. That's what we're here about.
That's what it's about. That's what it's
about. And if you're doing something good,
hey.
Great job. But if you're doing something bad to our community, we're going to expose you and we're going to deal with you. We're going to change the narrative now for our people. No more of our people, Black people suffering here in Fresno. If you're the type of person that all you're concerned about is you want to sit next to the mayor and be their little dog and pony and, you know, I was here at the dinner with the Congress, and I was over here with the city council person. If that's your MO, then fine. Because like I said earlier, we're about trying to build and is building in the Black community. Because you know
brother.
If we don't do it for ourselves, nobody's going to do it.
Nobody's going to do it. But Reverend, see, and this is the whole thing. Some of us are not concerned about getting that photo op with those politicians. Some of us don't care about what other people are saying. Some of us are just about the work. And people get upset and frustrated with you when you hold people accountable, people don't like it. But you're very right in saying that this is one of the reasons why we need this Progressive Black Summit, because we need to formulate a Black agenda. And so I'm saying to the listeners who are listening, if you consider yourself a Black progressive, and if you are a Black elected official in the San Joaquin Valley between Stockton and Bakersfield, please come to the summit. because we're going to be talking about these real, real issues. We're going to be talking, we're going to have four panels, two panels the first day, two panels the second day. We're going to be talking about this school-to-prison, community-to-prison pipeline. We're going to be talking about education in the poor schools. We're going to be talking about black businesses and the infrastructure that makes that difficult, and politics. And finally, we're going to be talking about mind, body, spirit, and what now for black progressives. And I'm happy to say that Reverend Harris is going to anchor that mind, body, spirit, because we have to be able to take care of our bodies and our spirits and be ready for the fight. So this is a very important summit. I'm hoping people are going to save the date, October 26th and 27th, because we're going to have a juvenile justice expert. His name is James Bell from the Burns Institute, B-U-R-N-S Institute in Oakland, who's going to be talking about this pipeline and where our youth fit in that. And he's also, I just confirmed with him, that he's going to sit in on the first panel talking about this pipeline. And so we're bringing in the heavy hitters, folks. This is not a dog and pony show. So we're talking about real solutions to real problems that black people have in the San Joaquin Valley. Because Reverend Harris is right. Nobody going to fix this for us. You know what? Why? Because why should they, when they're making money off of us, staying where we're at? Why would they want to help us? So when the Nation of Islam says, do for self or be a slave, this is what they're talking about. We should not look to white folks, Latinx, Asian, Hmong, anybody else to fix our problems for us. They can be our allies. They can support us, and we hope that they do. We got all this diversity going on in the valley. But the thing is that it is up to us to write our own agenda. Reverend Harris has been saying this for a long time, and I totally agree with him. And we have got to hold these politicians accountable. We pay their salary. We, the taxpayers, pay their salary. Our votes, or lack of votes, allows them to get into office. So what we going to do now, black people? What we going to do now? So, well, Reverend Harris, you sound like, I mean, you got the solutions, man. You got them.
Well, you know, my biggest issue with our black community is that we keep wanting to do things on an individual basis. And, you know, I've been doing better this year trying to get out and support folk. I mean, you know, I really didn't in the past because I just didn't really see anybody that needed, that had any really character and integrity to go support. But, you know, I'm changing that, at least giving people the benefit of the doubt to see what's going on. You know, I just doing different now, trying to do different a little bit. And so, you know, I just think the Poor People's Campaign coming to Fresno April 8th, we're going to be at the Paparella House with our press conference. The interesting part about that is that at 1 o'clock, we're going to march to the what is it called? The Conservation Corps.
Right.
Trying to find the address here.
It's 1805. It's 1805 East California.
1805 right East California. Okay.
That's right.
Right
across from Maxie Park. Mm-hmm.
Okay, right. So I just wanted to kind of talk about Chico, Marysville. We went into Sacramento, California, Oakland. We're coming into Fresno, what is that, Pomona, Orange County, and San Diego.
Right.
We're going to be going into those different cities. We're going to be having hearings. All of the politicians in Fresno have been invited. Go to the Board of Supervisors, to the City Council. I don't expect any of them to come because that's the environment in the city, that they have no respect for us. You know, when you show up to something, that says
right.
something. When you don't show up, that says a lot too. So I don't expect I don't know if Miguel Arias, whatever his name, Miguel Arias, I don't even know if he's going to come.
District 3.
In his district. I'm hoping he would. But there's no respect. When you don't respect something, you don't participate. Right? I mean, am I right
That's
or wrong?
Right.
You know,
no,
and so we
I believe you're right.
I mean, so, you know, we got to work on getting some goddamn respect. You know what I'm saying? Because without that, we're not going to, no one is going to take us serious.
Yeah.
And so that's why I said the ballot or the bullet. I mean, we can keep going around here as black people, you know, having all these freaking block parties and all that's great.
Or have you a trip? No, you're right. I'm laughing because it's true.
Those people are going to go back to the people who signed those big checks to say, you know what? What do you want? I'm only going to answer to those who signed that check for me. The hell with those ones over there that's poor. They ain't signed nothing for me. We have to change that narrative and get some respect.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
That's number
one. In order
one.
To do that, we got to mobilize those numbers. So people have got to be willing to get involved. If we don't have big developer money, if we don't have union money, if we don't have that kind of money, we're talking about thousands and thousands of dollars, folks. But we got people power. We got grassroots people power. That's the best kind of power. That's non-negotiable power. So when Reverend Harris does a shout out and says we need y'all to show up and show out, what y'all gonna do? You gonna show up? I hope you gonna show up on Monday.
We're gonna have two or three charter buses coming in from LA, also from the Bay Area to be with us. Some of them will be staying at my church tomorrow, getting ready for Monday. And so we happy that they are coming to be with us tomorrow. We're gonna show them good hospitality. And this is how mobilizing goes on. I'm at the point right now where I'm ready to put my speaker on top of my truck, get my barbecue pit, go down the street, plant some Malcolm X or Farrakhan, or some Dr. King Stokely Carmichael, some Fannie, park up in the hood, get that grill going, put a voter registration table out there. That's how we got to do it now, folks.
Yes.
Because it ain't working the other way that we're trying to do it the traditional way. You got to feed
our people.
You got to love our people.
That's
right. You got to offer our people something so they can build some trust in you.
Yes.
Because right now, we getting played and laid all over the city of Fresno. We got to call people from San Diego. I got to call people in from L.A. I got to call people in from the Bay Area. I got to call people in from Sacramento to come up in this Mississippi town and rock it, and shake it, and rock it, and turn it, and turn it upside down. That's what we got to do now. We got to bring in outside help now because we got too many house girls running around here selling us something. That's where we at today.
Now,
you may not like what I'm saying tonight, but I'm just telling you truth right now. And you know, deep in your heart and your spirit, you know I'm telling the truth. Because if it was any other way different, we would see the thriving businesses. We would see the black grocery store. We would see car lots. We would see the black tar shops. We would see. We don't see none of that.
No.
Because we just sitting there self-destructive. We're just like a mama dog that had babies, and after she had the babies, she turns around and eat them. That's what we're doing in the community. Piece of caucus.
All right now. All right.
So I'm sick of it. We're at the
but
end
this
of our
is
show.
What family does. The family got to tell the truth so that we all get better and heal. This is not a tear down, y'all. This is a truth telling, healing type of deal. If he didn't love the community, why would he be saying this? Wouldn't it be easier for him? I mean, easier for him to say nothing and do nothing? I don't think you could do that, though, Rev. I don't think you could just say nothing and do nothing. That don't seem to be in your nature. I'm just,
we're at the end of our show. I just want to thank y'all for tuning in. Y'all, please come out and support me, support us.
Come out, y'all.
You know, come out and share it on your Facebook. You know, call people up. You know, it's been a lot of hard work from our steering committee. I have so many names. I don't know all of them. Maria,
yeah.
Aline, David, just so Ralphie, Brown, Barrett,
yeah.
So many people that,
Dallas,
that put in a lot of hours to Dallas, to try to put this together for you to have a first-class Poor People's Campaign and for you to come out on this day to the press conference, march with me over there. Let us be heard. Let us be seen.
Yes.
The world is watching Fresno now to see what type of fiber of people, of organizers we have in Fresno. Can you do for yourself?
Yes.
That's what we get right now. And we can do for ourselves because that's why we're bringing all the folks in to mobilize and organize and to bring the consciousness up.
And a shout out to David.
And for you to come to the hearing and give your opinion on what your perspective is, or how you feel is what's going on in Fresno, and how you want to see
That's
it change. Come tell your story on April 8th at 1:00. You come tell your story. You come and march with me. March with us here in Fresno, because you know. Yeah, we need our Black Journal Press too. Yeah,
we need all that. But Rev, hold up the light so that people can see it. Hold up your flag so that people can see it and they know where to go. You and I and all the people on the steering committee love the community, and this is why we're doing this.
We're at the end of our show. I just want to thank y'all. We're going to play this show for my good friend, Tina McFadden. I don't know if you're still there. If you are, give me a fist up right now. I know you love this song. You was on my show that night. I didn't know that was the song you were talking about, but I see you on Facebook. You write me stuff. If you can just give me a fist up real quick, we're going to go ahead and play this song and dedicate this to Tina McFadden.
Peace.
Thank you.
That's right. We coming hard and we coming strong. This is your boy, Dr. Harris. We're going to come hard April 8th, asking everybody to come out to support us. We coming strong and we are coming hard. Thank you. We love y'all. Thank you for tuning in to Dr. Harris Black Lives Matter Show. This is how we do it. There's a revolution coming in Fresno, California. I'm looking for real soldiers right now. Real soldiers right now. Do you want a revolution? Do you? Do you? Do you? Do you?